And as we normally say, whether you're giving online or you're giving in the baskets, take your time, drop it in whenever you feel ready. You're not bothering me at all, so feel free to do that now, or feel free to do that at the end or in the middle or wherever. And thank you for your gift. Thank you for blessing this house that way. I wanted to say real quick before I turn this off, because it will distract me, good morning to Martha and Tina and Ruth and Carlotta and April and Brooke and Debbie Reynolds. And did I miss anybody? I don't think so. Kelly, Jennifer, Christine, Bob and Judy, good morning, Pamela. Everybody, good morning. Thank you for joining us online. I'm sure there's more. I am sorry if I didn't call you that. just type in here, hey, you forgot me, and I'll make sure to say hi to you after the sermon here. But welcome, welcome everybody in the house. Welcome those that are not in the house but are online. Thank you for joining us today. And man, God is already moving. God is already here. Can you feel him? Do you know that he's here? Oh, I don't want to move from this moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you, Lord. Everyone gets weirded out by the awkward silences, but I'm here to tell you that God isn't. It's all right. All right, a few things I wanted to call out, and it looks like I might have forgotten a part of it. But if you guys grabbed a bulletin this morning, there's something stapled inside of it, and I wanted to show you because I thought it was pretty cool. But if you have them, yeah, thanks, Mom. So we got some Be My Guest cards, I guess is probably the best way to say it. But the whole goal with this, and I want to be a little bit harsh on you right now, do not take them unless you're going to give them out. This is God calling you to move out in boldness, calling you to move out and invite somebody. So don't waste it. Don't just leave it there. Don't throw it away. Take it. And even if it takes a minute for it to sit there in front of you and nag at you for a little bit, but do it. but the whole goal here is to write your name and phone number on the back and to hand these out and ask people to come to church with you, to be your guest, to say no to fear. We're not worrying about that anymore because we can join online or in person. So there's no fear that gets to win today. We're saying no to that. We're not agreeing to that. And then we're asking them to join us. So whether they're joining us online and you're chatting with them and you're amening with them, or whether you're sitting next to them here, whatever that looks like, the goal is to invite somebody to church. Can we do that? Amen. Amen. All right. Thanks, Mom. All right. So we have plenty. So if five is not enough for you, that's good news to me, because we'll get some more coming in. I also, just a little tidbit, I will get some with a little bit bigger font. but I'm just praising God for the, man, just the graciousness of this company. They give us a really, really good deal on them compared to what you'd pay anywhere else. So God's favor is all on that. Amen. All right, so a couple things I wanted to call out. We still do Mission Sunday on the third Sunday, so it's in here. So be preparing your missions gift. Remember that you can write to the church for Stephen and Amber. That's new. So if you missed it, you can write for Stephen and Amber. You know, write to Hope Church, and in the memo, say Stephen or Amber. Let us know which, and we'll give on their portal, because it's a little bit complex, a little bit confusing. April Lasseter is in chat right now. So if you go back on this message and you have questions, we can make sure to get it to her, and she can answer any of the questions. But just let us know. Men's breakfast was pushed to next Saturday at 8 a.m., and we do need help putting up our decorations. So we will be fast friendly on our food. Just be mindful of that. We are aware of that. And then this Wednesday, we are back in the building. Amen? Amen. So we're going to continue our study in Galatians for the adults, starting in verse 12 of chapter 4. So we'll resume that study, and then the youth will be upstairs as they have been. We will not do the game night and the food stuff for obvious reasons. We're going to have a big old celebration at the end of the month after fasting is done so that no one is tempted. I almost brought some cookbooks, but I was like, that won't be very nice of me. So I didn't bring those for our little section that we were talking about. So with that said, those are your announcements. Let us know if you have any questions. We've been adding more and more of this to our church apps and Faith Life and all that, so you can also see them there. And I hope if you haven't yet, you've seen inside of the bulletin itself, you can sign up for our newsletter and be added to the church directory. So all that is coming. I'm almost done with the church directory. I know I keep saying that, but I enjoyed me some Christmas and some snow. So let's pray. I want to get into the Word. I've got a lot here, a lot on my heart, and I know I've said it last time, but I felt like this one is going to be just a little bit different than we're used to. Most certainly, towards the end, it will be. So a little teaser there. So just watch for it. So let's pray. Those online, pray with us. But Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you for getting to meet in here in a building together. We thank you for getting to meet online together. Lord, wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, you said that if we gather together in your name, you're there, you're with us. And Lord, you transcend all space and time. Lord, you control technology more than anybody else thinks they might have control of it. Lord, you can move and speak and transform lives through the technology as well. So God, we thank you for that. We thank you that your word, your gospel, your truth is going forth. So God, I ask that you anoint my lips and anoint my heart today. Lord, that they wouldn't hear Chris, that they'd hear you. That they'd think on the word that you have for us today. Lord, they'd process it, they'd chew on it a little bit. Lord, and it may not always be fun, but it's always meant in love because you are love. So Lord, we receive it and we accept it today and we say yes to all that you have for us today. Lord, use us in a mighty way. Use us in a mighty way to impact each other because we are the body, one body, many members, and we all have a function. We all have a purpose, and we trust you, and we believe that in Jesus' name, amen. So in my sermon, I'm talking about it a little bit, but we are indeed in a 21-day fast with all of Foursquare, which is super awesome. That means thousands upon thousands of people are doing this with us, so that's so cool. And the reason why I say that is God is going to do something. We're all going to be co-laborers with him in this. We're going to get to work with him in it. That's powerful. God uses people. So cool. So we are in the 21-day fast, and I've got a few resources online. You can also text me and ask me any questions. I specifically am doing a Daniel fast. But I know there are others that are doing liquid only. I know there are some that are doing nothing. I know there are some that are skipping meals. Whatever it is for you, I'll tell you the same thing that I told my kids, and we've been talking about it, so I thought that was so cool. They're asking me questions. But they each asked the Lord and said, God, what do you want me to give? And the biggest thing that I want you to get out of a fast, biggest thing, is the fast, the intention of the fast is not to starve yourself. It's not to do all this other drudgery and to make it so pitiful and like, you know. In fact, Jesus says to wash your face and go about your day and be joyful just as if nothing had changed. Because the goal is to draw closer to him. It's not to get caught up in law. It's not to get caught up in regulation. So the moment my kids started like feeling a weight, I said, hold on, wait a second, what's going on? Well, we did you ask the Lord? No, okay, so let's ask the Lord. What should we fast from? And so each of them did that, and each of them picked something that was tough. I'm not going to say it's not tough, but you shouldn't feel the weight, because Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Still a yoke, but it's easy and light. And anything other than that is law, is going backwards, and we don't want to do that. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. So Jesus said, and if you were wondering, he did say, when you fast, when you pray, when you give. So fasting is in the New Testament just like it's in the Old Testament, okay? So we're not doing anything weird here. What's this about, you know? And it's not a diet, so hopefully no one's looking at it that way. I'm going to lose so much weight, you know. Maybe, you know, that'll be a byproduct. The focus and the goal should be, I want to draw closer to you. I want to capture more of your heart. Yeah.
Can we call it a side benefit?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. So, as I was talking about this, one of the things that came to mind, and I was talking to Pastor Glenn and a few others, and I want us to spend the first month, as we're doing prayer and fasting, to learn how to hear God's voice. And you might say, oh, I already know that, Chris. I've been around. I know things. You know, maybe you do. Teach us. Cool. But we're going to learn together, and we're going to go through it together, and we're going to see how we can hear God's voice. And I'm telling you, I've seen this in my own life, and those kids that I was just telling you about have done the same thing, and they hear the voice of God. How many of you remember as a kid that you could say you heard the voice of God? Some of us, not all of us. I don't know that I remember it. I know I felt the voice of God, but I didn't know it was the voice of God at the time, right? So understanding that you're going to hear the voice of God multiple ways is a key in going through this with me. So understand that not one size fits all, and God has a unique way of speaking to you, and you'll find as we study this that he's been speaking all along, okay? I'm excited. This is my favorite thing. So here's my sermon in a sentence if you want to tune me out the rest of the time. I hope that you don't. I was worried about giving this at the beginning, but anyways, here we go. But here's our sermon in a sentence, and it is this. It is sometimes, in order to turn up the volume, you need to consider the noise in you and around you. Are you prepared to listen? Takes a little bit of work. We're going to find that out. So the sermon and sentence is sometimes in order to turn up the volume, you need to consider the noise in you and around you. So I believe over the past few weeks, we've been preparing for now. We've been preparing for this month, this moment, this year, 2021. We've been preparing for it. I'd wager to say that we've been preparing a lot longer than the last few weeks, but most definitely the last few weeks. And I say that because we've been studying joy, and we've been studying peace, and hope, and love. Come on now, you know. And if we have learned, and if we've taken these notes, and we've prayed, and God, show me more of your joy. God, show me more of your peace, more of your hope, more of your love. As those things are applied to us, and I like to say it this way, this may make some people uncomfortable, but I say massaged in us. Because sometimes it takes time. Sometimes, just like muscles are, we're tense. We're like, we're rigid, you know. We don't want to move. We don't want to bend or budge. But I heard a sermon the other day as I was driving to Tulsa, and he said the word there in one of the scriptures that we use, joy, to put on joy, he said that word there was like a military command. It was as if you were taking joy up as a general. I think I might have shared this Wednesday. But you're taking joy on as a general, and you're commanding your body. You're commanding your soul. No, we're going to be joyful right now. We're going to step into the joy of the Lord. We're going to believe in his promises. Did you know that even if you disbelieve his promises about you, you're still disbelieving God? You're calling him a liar. You're saying, no, that's not right. That's not true. So I don't want any of us to believe that. I want us to believe the promises that he has, and his promises, his truth, the fruit of the Spirit as they are applied through the manifestation of love, transform into joy and peace and hope and self-control and all these things we read about in Galatians 5, which we're going to get there soon. But we see all those things in our life, and I am telling you today that as we apply those things, they'll help us as we go through prayer and fasting. And I wrote on here as I was, you know, talking to the Lord, times of prayer and fasting. I don't believe it's something we should only do at the first of the year. I don't believe it's something we should only do for 21 days. I believe we should be a people, because our bridegroom is not with us, and he said, when I'm away from you, then you will fast. I believe we should be people that when we're contending for something, when we're looking for deeper levels, when we're looking for more of His Holy Spirit in us, we should be people that learn how to fast and pray all the time. It should be part of who we are. It shouldn't be weird or different or a fad or anything like that just because other people are doing it, okay? You hear me on that?
Yes.
All right. So our series is Tuned In. And as I was thinking about this series, because we're talking about hearing God's voice, so are you tuned in is the question, I started thinking about an old television. So I think they have it on the screen they could throw up there for us. But I want to know, did anybody have one of these? Anyone? Yeah? Yep, yep.
VHF UHF.
Yes. Well, I have some fun things about this, but this is funny. So I have one more question, and we won't laugh very hard at you. Anyone still have one of these? Hey, I want to come to your house. Because it's cool, and it brought back a lot of memories. It brought back a lot of my childhood, right? You know, what we did and how we did it. And one of the things that I think about, small little tidbit, this is not on topic, but I don't know if you know this, but I found this picture by searching vintage TV. They don't call them old TVs. I didn't find it by old. I found it by vintage. So I told Christy I was going to ask the kids, just as I get older in years, don't call me old, call me vintage.
Vintage.
Yeah, yeah. I've got a few takers. So if you want to be called vintage, tell us online, and we'll make sure we call you vintage too. But I thought that was funny. Back on point. I was reminded of these dials on the front. You have two of the dials, right? And one of them on our TV was for the volume, and the other was for the channels. And I say channels funny because it was like five. So it's not like it was channels. It was like, do you want to watch news, or news? So five channels nonetheless. And anytime we wanted to change them, you know, TVs, most rooms probably about like this. And so you'd walk over, and you'd go, that better? You know, and you'd kind of do that a few times, and it took a little bit. It took some time before you had it just right. And it kind of took me back. And as I was thinking about that, I started thinking about a story, and it's in 1 Kings. So much of what we read this morning, if you'll write on your paper or your notes, is going to be 1 Kings 19. And it's going to be 3 through 14. So we're going to read through this together, and we're just going to kind of gradually unpack this. But to catch you up in the story, Elijah had just won this massive victory for the Lord, right? He had come against the prophets of Baal, and the Lord had thoroughly defeated them. I mean, they got the biggest butt-whooping of all time. And so Ahab, I wrote the wrong word here, so if you're reading my notes, it is not that word. It's Ahab. And so Ahab was the king at this time, and he goes and he tells Jezebel. Now listen, y'all, there's a reason why you've heard Jezebel all of your life, and you might not have realized that she was a Bible character, but she was a bad, bad Bible character. Lots of bad things are referenced as Jezebel, so this lady's bad. This is not the kind of reputation you want. But nonetheless, Ahab tells Jezebel, and he was really a weak king, a really whiny baby king, and he's just whining to her. Whoa, 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 here's what happened. Can you fix this? What are we going to do? Whatever are we going to do, right? He's in turmoil. And so she said, oh, I'll show you what we're going to do. And she sent out a decree to threaten Elijah's life. Oh, you took my prophets of Baal, I'm going to take your life. So she sent out the death threat. Now, guys, I don't know how this happened. I don't know if it was a carrier pigeon. I mean, that would have been really funny. But I don't know how this message gets out. But nonetheless, Elijah gets the message, and he runs away in terror. There's something in that for you today. He heard the message. He heard a report. Whether it was true, whether it was validity, whether she had the power to do what she said, he heard a message, he heard a report, and he allowed fear to take hold of him. All right, so we pick up in verse 3, and it says, Elijah was afraid, and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went, so he was so scared, he was like, listen, if you're with me, the death threat's on you too. Like, he was not playing, okay? Lots of fear here. So he left his servant. Didn't want him to die. Then he went on alone into the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I didn't look this up in multiple versions. Someone's going to have to tell me later what a solitary broom tree is and looks like. So please do that. Next verse. He said, "I have had enough, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." This is what I like to call the old-fashioned pity party. Anyone throw one of those a time or two? Yep. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who have already died." He's done. Verse 5. Then he laid down and he slept under this broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him. Everybody say, an angel touched him. Yes. And said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank and lay down again. Verse 7, then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, "Get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you." Now, guys, listen. I think many of us can say we probably like us some good bread and some water, but this guy had, like, at least in this account, 2 meals worth. That's a lot of bread and water. So I'm kind of with Elijah. I'm like, I'm sleepy now. I'm going to take a nap. No. Eat some more, you know. So, okay, come on. I heard a guy telling a story about Grandma's house, and it reminded me of Grandma's house and how she's always like, "Come on, eat. You look like you haven't eaten in a while. Just eat." You know, it's like, okay. I mean, I guess it's better to be on that side of the spectrum than the opposite side of the spectrum. But, you know, nonetheless, Nana's telling us to get up and eat. You get up and eat. So the angel of the Lord touched Elijah and said the same thing. Hey, it's bread and water. Get up and eat. But he was trying to give him truth. I wonder how much of it he heard. But he said, "Or the journey ahead will be too much for you." He knew it was coming. He knew what was going to happen. And the interesting thing that I want you to pay attention here, who's he talking to?
Angel of the Lord.
So he's talking to a spiritual entity. He's not talking to himself, so let's kind of keep that in our mind. He's talking to someone else who's not physically there in the natural, okay? So hear that. Let's kind of go with that. Verse 8. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength. Man, this is some bread right here. This is probably like the Lord of the Rings, like Glimbus bread right here. But the food gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. So he knew he was going on a journey. He just didn't realize the Lord was going to intervene and say, "Oh, I'm going with you. You're going to go on my journey, all right?" So there, in verse 9, he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, this is so funny, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" In verse 10, Elijah replied, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty." He's kind of tooting his own horn a little bit. Don't know about that. But but "the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you. They've torn down your altars, and they've killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." Anybody who was on Wednesday night, all I'm going to say is Incredibles, Dash. This is Dash right now. You'll have to watch that, but we're alive, but we're dead. You know, it's just so much drama here right now. Was anything that he was saying wrong? No. But he wasn't looking at what God was doing. He was only looking at the natural. He was looking at what's in front of him. And it caused him to, because he'd already given into that fear, he caused him to apply fear to his situation. We're lost. All is lost. So verse 11, God says, "Go out and stand before me on the mountain." And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. I want you to catch that here. So listen, the Lord passed by, and then a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. and everything was all chaotic and crazy and wild. But what does it say? But the Lord was not in the wind. I think there's some distinction there, some interesting distinction. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. Verse 13. So when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face with his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, he's already asked this question, but the voice said this, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he replied again, "I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." So this is where I've got our story stopped here. I know I've given you guys some extra verses we'll read here in a little bit. But here is the situation. So he's allowed fear to creep in. Last week we dealt with a bitter root. This week we're talking about a fear root. Come on, somebody. And we've allowed fear to creep in. And you've got this mighty man of God who has seen the work of the Lord. You got this mighty man of God who talks to the Lord. He's been talking to the Lord, whether he realized it or not. He's been talking to the Lord this entire journey. But everything has adjusted his vision. Do you notice? I mean, I don't know how many of you have read this story. I've read a lot of it. You have a very different Elijah here. Go read how he talks to them and how he deals with the prophets of Baal. There was not much fear in him, if any. Maybe fear that, oh, this fire is about to come down and I'm going to get toasted too, so I'm going to stand over here, you know. But nonetheless, it's a very different Elijah, and I'm here to tell you that it's because fear. So let's continue. The other thing I want to say is normally we focus so only and solely on the still small voice, but I want to kind of look at other things. I believe the other thing I wanted to call out is in this moment, as we kind of talked about up above and as it relates to the TVs, he allowed the noise and external factors to take his focus off the Lord. He was still hearing a voice. He was still dealing with an angel, but his focus was not on God. So I wanted to kind of bring our attention back to the TV just for a second. As I remember being in our living rooms at our house or grandma's house or whatever, I remember there were times that, you know, it's kind of silly that we try to have conversation and do other things while watching a TV. It's like, yeah, it's not loud enough. You think you can turn it up? Anyways, but, you know, nonetheless, I'm, hey, turn the volume up. So we go over and, that good? Yeah, we think so. Hey, it's not loud enough. And you know, you kind of do that a few times before you get it just right, right? But on the flip side, you turn the TV on, and sometimes it's just like blasting, and it's like, whoa, what happened? You know, what were we watching that loud? And it's like, you know, you get both sides of it, right? You get the super quiet, the gentle, and it's like, oh, I can't quite hear what's going on. And then you turn it on the next day and watch something simple, something gentle, you think, and it's just like blasting you. Fun fact is that affects modern TVs as well as old TVs, vintage TVs. So to make this as non-technical as possible, I want to give some props to our sound team. Thank them so much for what they do, because there are a lot of factors that come in when we adjust sound. It's the room, the size, the makeup, the quality of material. It's the type of music. It's the bodies in the room. So sound bouncing off of bodies does different things. It's the weather, believe it or not. I've recorded something one day for a Christmas drama and recorded something the very next day or even that afternoon, and I have a completely different sound. It's like, what am I going to do now? Now I'm adjusting for the weather to make it try to match what I got the first time. So it's so different. So I don't know if you've ever paid attention enough to movies or dramas or plays or skits or anything like that, but sometimes if you're tuned to it, you'll pick up, oh, that's a little bit different. There's like a fuzz there that wasn't there on the other stuff. Like you pick it up. So what I'm saying here, not trying to be technical, but you have to adjust for all the external factors in you and around you. So the internal and the external. Because God is always talking. I think we've established that. You have to be prepared to listen. So my first point, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these, but my first point is tune my ears. So if we ask the Lord, God, tune my ears so that I hear you. And our desire in this topic is to hear God's voice. We have to ask him to teach us how to hear his voice. And it made me think of John 10. We've talked about this before, so I'm not going to read the whole scripture. But at John 10, 27, Jesus tells them, my sheep listen to my voice. And I like that distinction because earlier in the chapter he talks about hearing. Many people will hear something. You have to know that distinction too, right? Everybody know hearing versus listening? I heard a sound. But if I hear what you're saying and I listen intently, it usually involves an action, whether it's in our discussion or if it's in the going and doing what was asked of me, okay? So hearing versus listening. Jesus says, my sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. Okay, you with me? So we can see above in our story that God was retuning Elijah's ear. Do you see it? The different things that he caused to happen, he was causing external things to refocus him and get his attention narrowed back, okay? Second point, we have to create a secret place. In this instance, Elijah was led out into the wilderness. And even before the journey, God was in it. He already knew it was going to happen. He already had it prepared and planned. He provided the food for it, so much food that it would sustain him for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know that God is calling each and every one of us to go out on a 40-day journey, but if he is, or if it's a 21-day fast, it's him and him alone that can prepare you for the journey, to sustain you in the journey, and when you come out on the other side, you're totally different. We're going to see that in a minute. I want to call out that, once again, everything up to this point was preparation for Elijah's journey, that he would show himself in a mighty way during this time, and that God will show himself for us in a mighty way when we get alone with him. I want to call out one other thing I told you a minute ago, just so you have the address. Read Matthew 6. Jesus tells us three things. He said, when we. Pray, fast, give. It was when, not if. Okay? Something that he called out interestingly on this point, verse 6. He says, when we pray, go into our innermost room. Our innermost room, innermost room. What's he talking about? What might that be? How about our heart? Whoa, that just opened up for a few of us. oh my goodness, he's talking about the heart, right? That's what I did. Just, 48 hours before this. Oh wow, he's talking about the heart. So it's okay, you're in good company. So here's what he said to me. If your heart is filled with junk, it's not mine. It's not spring yet, but we might need some cleaning, some healing, and he is able to help with every aspect of all of that. God, heal me, cleanse my heart. Help me to empty out all the junk so that when I go to my innermost room, it's yours, and we can meet there, and we could spend time together. So Elijah ended up in a cave. But the point that I believe God was trying to make here for me and for us is that we're with him wherever he goes. We have the opportunity to take that. I had a funny picture when I was preparing this. I was thinking of Mom and Dad's little RV trailer. I know that's a crude example, but yeah, you got the RV ready to go. Let's go, Jesus. We're going to go on a journey, right? That makes me light up. Many of you might not like journeys, but I do. So now that the Holy Spirit dwells within us, we carry this mobile secret place with us wherever we go. I hope that gives you some encouragement, some joy. My last point, learn to linger. Oh, as we've all experienced Thanksgiving and Christmas, anyone ever experienced the times when you're like, I think I've overstayed my welcome. It's time to go. Come on, everybody, let's pack things up. Let's move on, right? I think about it these days, you know, not back then when I thought that, but these days, I think about it as more restlessness, a desire to be in some place that's comfortable, right? And sometimes you just can't feel comfortable at other places. I know it sounds silly. Some of you are like, no, Chris, not at all. But for others, we have that homeliness that is at our house, on our recliner or couch or whatever, and we let our hair down, you know, so that's kind of a funny picture for all of us too. But nonetheless, the idea is we're at peace. I'm here today to tell you that Jesus isn't like that at all. He comes over and he says, can I come in? And you say, yes. But Jesus sits down and he says, all right, now be yourself. Kick off the shoes. Let down the hair. Don't worry about serving me. It's all right. Let's just spend time together. And the other cool part that I like about it, because often we get kind of uncomfortable when people are there. I remember going to some family's house, and I felt like I was kind of getting nitpicked at the entire time. Like, oh, ow, oh, you know, just taking all of it. And I was like, all right, I'm ready to go, you know. But what I find with Jesus is as he works on us, sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes we don't even realize it. And then you have this little epiphany moment that it's like, I didn't feel that way whenever I started this, or I didn't think that way when we started this. Lord, you know, I was adamantly against that. It had to be you, and you alone changed that in me. You've changed my perspective. How cool is this, right? The other thing I wanted to say here, and this is going to be a little bit uncomfortable for some of the manly men in the room, but Jesus wants intimacy, and he wants to remain in that place of intimacy. So for a moment, I need you to put your furry coat, just take that off and put it on the side and take off that belt with the weapons on it. And just for a moment, I need us to remember what Jesus said. Come to me like little children. And I thought about this, especially with my own kids. Little children love intimacy. They love the hugs and the kisses and all the attention and the closeness you know, especially the little ones. The little ones will just kind of inch up, like keep inching over until they're right next to you. Grandma can attest to this. When she comes over to our house, she has a job. She didn't know this, but when Grandma comes over, Grandma is the designated Barbie player. So anything that has anything to do with Barbies, now the boys, they have like little superheroes or whatever, so we won't call them Barbies. But nonetheless, Grandma gets to play and reenact all the voices and do all this, right? They love intimacy. They love being in her presence and just being around her. And so the thought there is that Jesus wants us to do that. So when we talk about our faith, when we talk about the way that we trust him, the way that we look at him, he wants that intimacy. Like, I believe every word you say. I have no reason not to believe every word you say, because if I'm looking at it as a child, I'm not looking at it in my mind and the way that I've understood things, the way that I've sought things out. I'm not saying God won't ever ask you to apply wisdom, but in the place of intimacy, in the place, the secret place, we're looking at him with the wide-eyed wonder and saying, you do what you say. You're always good. We sang about that this morning. And your plans are for prospering, not for harm. So if I come to you, if I come to the secret place, knowing and believing that, yes, I know that you're a king. I'm not minimizing that. Yes, I know that you're a king. But man, when I come to a king, I'm reserved. I'm maybe defensive. I don't say what's on my heart. But our king knows everything before we're ever going to say it. What he wants is for us to agree. You know all things. I'm going to agree with your plan. I'm going to vocalize the fact that I say yes to your plan. Don't understand it. Little kids don't understand it. My kids ask me why, who, what, when, how, 80 bajillion times, sometimes about the same topic. So any of us talk to the Lord that way? Yeah, I won't look and see all the hands raised. But sometimes it's like, but why? But why? But why? And I'm curious to what God looks like in that moment. I kind of think it's probably lots and lots of laughter. But he wants us to be like that when we come to the secret place. He wants us to linger. He wants us to wait a minute, okay? Don't be in such a rush to go do things. I had another pastor tell me, he was getting ready for his messages and things that he was preaching. And he said, he just felt the Lord said, sit down, okay? Start journaling. Write down what I say. Lord, I've got a lot of stuff to do. I don't have time. I know what you have to do. I'll make time for those things. Do this. So the idea is we're talking to the one who made everything, including time, and he says he's got it. So take the time to linger in his presence and don't allow busyness to distract you. Can you hear that today? So here's that that last part of what happened with Elijah. As Elijah waited in the cave, God answered. And he gave him a very detailed answer and plan for what was coming. I'm going to switch to my Bible because I don't think I have it above. Yeah, I just go down to 14. So we're going to go back to our portion here in 1 Kings 19. And forgive me for not having this. Praise the Lord for digital Bibles because I don't have my other one up here. 1 Kings 19. Come on, Chris, you're holding them up. Okay, so we finish the portion where in verse 14 he says, I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. And then the Lord, I love this, then the Lord said in verse 15, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, and to be king of Israel. And then anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. These are some specific names, y'all. It's probably just as difficult for them to say as it is for me. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down to Baal or kissed him. God gave him insight in that moment. God gave him, no, hold on a second. Let me retune your ears. Let me retune your focus. Check out what I have going on. Now, God gave him a lot here, but God didn't give him everything. The most important thing that God gave him was, I've got this covered. Now go. You know, all right, we've had a moment, we've had some time together, we've had that intimacy, and he taught him to linger there. But what I'm telling you today is that he was retuning his ears. He's retuning his focus and getting him back on him. And then he said, hey, and just FYI, I got all that covered. This guy and this guy and this guy and this guy are going to be used by me. And oh, by the way, you get to co-labor with me. Go anoint them. Go give them what I gave you. Be bold. Get after it. And I see Elijah just lighting up in that moment like, like, all right, yeah, I can do this. Like, this is what I'm talking about. Because Elijah just got done seeing fire fall from heaven. So I saw that fire burning in his eyes again and like, all right, we're going. Let's do this. If the praise and worship team will go ahead and get ready, we're just about done here. So in closing, my thought that I feel like many of us can agree with Elijah's perspective is that some of us have been waiting for the wrong things with wrong motives, or possibly we've even been distracted by all the noise that we've missed his word for now. So I asked us last week, I don't know if you remember it, but I said, I believe God has a word, and I believe each of us, let's start small, I believe each of us have heard a word from the Lord for our own lives, possibly can be applied to the church, but I believe that the Lord was saying something to the church there as well. We didn't get a lot of words. Now, that might have been a number of different factors, but I encourage you to analyze your heart. We're going to pray a prayer together. I think it's important to pray, and then we're going to do something else, but we want the Lord to analyze our heart. And Lord, as you promised in Jeremiah 30, a promise of deliverance for Israel, not just for Israel, but for us too, he said, I will give you back your health, and I will heal your wounds. His word also tells us shortly before that, that I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope, right? Then here's another promise, the Lord says. Peter reminded us of this in Acts 2, it was found in Joel, but he said, his word said that he will pour out his spirit on how many flesh? One or two? Three or four? All of them. Everyone, there's another word, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I put mine in all caps. So if you want the Spirit of the Lord, if you want to be freed from the pain, the destruction of, we covered bitterness last week, but if you weren't here, let's deal with bitterness. But if you also want to deal with fear, fear has gripped me. Fear has caused me to take my eyes off of Jesus. And for 2020, we said eyes on Jesus. So you can see how the enemy wants to attack the thing that he knows God wants us to do. So if you want to be delivered, if you want to be separated from that spirit of fear, that spirit of bitterness, if you want his spirit to fall on you, because he said that it would, I'd encourage you to come up. I'd encourage you to come up here. I'll even move this out of the way. Come up here up to the front. Line up in a line, however you see fit. But come on up. If you even kind of have a little bit of an idea that you've let fear creep in, come on up. I'm going to stand you right here. Y'all come up next to Tay. I feel so strongly that the Lord has said, I guess I should have let you know, I went to a revival New Year's Eve. And God moved, and God showed me some things. So whether you know or not, you need something. So I encourage you, come forward. Come forward. If you feel the pull of a need, you don't know what it is, come forward. I'm gonna linger because I know there's somebody else. Any need. Song they were singing, you keep on getting better. And as we learn to give up things, give up our hindrances, align our hearts with his truth and away from the lie of the enemy, he keeps on getting better. He keeps on transforming. He keeps on doing new things and depositing new wine in our hearts. I'm going to start praying for them, but I'm also believing that there's still more. So keep coming. But we're going to start laying hands.